Good morning, everybody. I just want to welcome all of you here today, and on behalf of the Board of Diaconate and the search team, it's my pleasure to introduce all of you to Pastor Verlui. Why don't you come forward, sir? Hopefully all of you have had a chance to, if you wanted to have a chance, to speak with him this week, and if you have, you've discovered what a man of faith he is, how he honors his wife, is training his kids to love Christ, and how he has dedicated to serve Christ in this church and other churches and throughout the world. So I introduce you to Pastor Verlui, and may God bless you today, sir. May I pray before you start?
Yes.
Lord, thank you. Thank you for who you are. I pray that you will send your spirit on this place. I pray that we will be able to feel you move, and that your words will be shared today, that we will hear you speak through Pastor Verlui this morning. Amen.
Thank you. How about a shout to the Lord and give praise for the wonderful work for the praise team? Come on. Yeah? Yeah. It's good to worship the Lord and to be in the house of God. There was a pastor in one church, and there hasn't been a rain in that land for quite some time. So he was challenging the members to say, we got to pray for rain. And next week, when we come to worship, we want to make sure that there is rain in the land, and he gave a challenge to the members. So they went home. He came early the next Sunday. And when everybody walked in, he was not happy. The pastor was not happy because nobody brought an umbrella, you know. I said, where is your faith? Where is your faith? You go home. We're not going to worship anymore because you didn't bring an umbrella. So I just wanted to let you know I brought an umbrella. Anyway, if... they said if you have a faith of a mustard seed, right? I brought my umbrella. But just to show that my faith is a little bigger than this umbrella, I brought a big umbrella here too, see? And I don't know how I can open this, but it's opening up. This is bigger, right? Yeah? Shall we pray? Oh God, our Father, you are the God that created the universe, Lord. And we pray and thank God for the presence of the Holy Spirit. And I do pray for rain in California. I pray that you'll send your rain. You are the God of the rain, and the people need here rain in this land. So I pray to the God of Elijah, who prayed that there will be no rain, there was no rain, who prayed there will be rain, and there was rain. So send us your blessing. May we experience the blessing of rain in this land. And in Jesus' name, and the people of God say,
amen.
Next week, we'll see how many brought an umbrella, okay? Pastor, yeah, I'll call you. So the sermon this morning is Divine Destiny. Can we say Divine Destiny?
Divine.
Yeah, and the scripture is from Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So this morning, just humor me and just do whatever I say. Is that okay? Yeah? So let's try with clapping our hand. And yeah, we are alive. We are alive in the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Growing Healthy Churches listed on their website that Santa Clara First Baptist Church in Santa Clara is looking for a full-time pastor. And this is how he described here, the pastor. The senior pastor is a preacher, is a challenger, is a trainer, is a teacher, is a resource, initiator, counselor, and guide. However, he or she works with many other members of the body who also pastor to one another and the world. I told my wife, I also want to go to a church that has this kind of a pastor. I mean, look here. Preacher, challenger, trainer, teacher, resource, initiator, counselor, and guide. He or she must work with member of the bodies, pastor of a city, and pastor of the world. I heard Dr. Hoyt told the search committee that Jesus was not available. So when I told them that I am the replacement for Jesus, you can imagine how that went. Andrew was saying, come again? Say what? You know? Pastor said, are you even a Christian? You know, I got a nice welcome here. And Trudy, wonderful, she said, Pastor, you are shorter than I even thought you are. What a nice welcome, right? Let's give a hand to Santa Clara. FBC, come on. But the scripture says we are his workmanship, created in Christ for good works, which was prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Divine workmanship. The first one that I want to say is divine workmanship. God's workmanship transforms ordinary material for extraordinary purpose. You see on the picture there, there are five little rocks. That's just a common rock. But God says we are his divine workmanship. You know that David was a very common little boy, short and small like me. You know, right? When the prophet came, he didn't even think that David was qualified to be a king. Very common. And they take that rock, the five little rocks there, that kids play around, throw in the pond. In this case, David used it as a sling to shoot it to the wolf or the lions or tigers that are out there. But he took that common rock and common, unusual little man, and he used it for extraordinary purpose. The stone killed Goliath that Israelites were so afraid of. We are his workmanship. God can take common things, unusual things, and use it for his glory. Use it for his glory. You know, his workmanship surpasses our materials, the materials. You know, take for example, look at that. That's just dirt on the other side. But look at the one on the other side. Whoa, whoa. Isn't she beautiful? Yeah? That's my wife. Come on. That's my wife. Yeah. That's mine. Yes. She's beautiful, I'm telling you. That's just a material. When we put in the hand of God these common materials, it always surpasses. God's work always surpasses the materials. He take a common dirt and created us into a magnificent being. You are a masterpiece. You are a masterpiece. There is nobody just like you. In this entire universe, you can't find a person just like you. You're unique. You're a masterpiece. It's because God has taken this very common material and turn it into a masterpiece. Turn to somebody and say, you are a masterpiece.
You are a masterpiece.
Yeah, that's good. Thank you. Yes. You are a masterpiece. God has designed you for great work. You're an awesome being. God can transform mundane things into magnificent being. Divine workmanship. The second one that point that I want to emphasize is that divine design for good works, because we are designed to do good works. Because you're in the valley, you know about the operating system, whether it's Apple, Google, Dell. See, the operating system, the divine design, is already built in and configured already within us. See? And what is that? What is that operating system? The operating system is already inbuilt, is configured. What do we need to do? We need to access the applications. They're different applications, right? And then the third one is that we are designed for good works, And we have access to those applications through whom? Through Jesus Christ. He's our password. So, when you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, Jeremiah, when you're baptized, when you declare yourself to be the follower of Jesus Christ, you know who is your operating system? It's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is already within you, and He has given gifts and talents to you. There are applications out there. You got to take the mouse and click on it. And the wonderful things, the file will open, and you can see all the things that God has in store for you. Our Holy Spirit is our operating system. The application is already there for access. But we need to access through the Lord Jesus Christ. He's your password. He's your password. Divine design for good works. I came to Santa Clara with my wife and children during the 4th of July weekend. I came to spy all of you. And the search committee set us up with a real estate guy. Okay? It wasn't Donald Trump. it was actually two guys and Larry Triggs. And the two guys, we went to an Italian restaurant and we had lunch together. And as we were eating and chatting, one of the guys actually said, God has planned this meeting long before. And I was so surprised. I said, that is very deep and very spiritual and biblical. And I found out that he was a pastor. He was a Christian. And Larry was saying that we are praying that pastor may come to Santa Clara and be a pastor here. And one of the other guy, because there were two of them, he said, oh, we need you here. We need you here. Come from there now, when you look at the conversations, you know, God has prepared beforehand for what? For us to do good works. He's already prepared beforehand. And for a stranger to tell me in the hotel, and to say, you know, God has prepared this meeting beforehand, long before. It spoke to me. It spoke to me how God is preparing these places. So we are here for a divine purpose. All of us are here for a divine purpose. So the path to good works is already prepared beforehand by God. Okay? So that means there is no other path that the one and than the one that God has made for our destiny. If God has prepared the path beforehand to walk on it, there is no other path that He wants us to walk on it. Now, why did He create the path? He created the path that we should walk on, the path of good works. Okay? And I want to say this. So I want to be a little personal this morning and share why we are here. And how did I get here? So my wife had a dream. And in our experiences, God has spoken to us through the Word of God and through dreams in so many ways. One day my wife got up in the morning and she said, honey, I got out of the door and I opened the door and there was a mountain in front of our house. You know, I don't know, maybe we're going to move to a place where there's mountain. And I said, well, in Indiana, there is no mountain, you know, it's flat. And I said, I don't know, maybe, honey, we're going to move to Tennessee. In Tennessee, there's mountain. Or maybe Alaska. Alaska is mountain. Or Colorado, you know, we never thought about California, that California has mountains. And so every year, we would get a letter from different churches inquiring whether we're open to move and be a pastor in their churches. And we have politely turned down and said, no, we are not interested. But every year, even though we are not open, we get at least 4 invitations from different churches. So after a while, this year, it's about 3 years ago now when this happened, my wife and I said, we know we should be open. Just be open to see where God leads us. So we started opening and we started praying. And we have always loved for big cities because my wife and I met in New Delhi. And New Delhi has 18 million people. Okay? And we were in Delhi University. And under Delhi University, there are about 140 colleges. In the 90s and early 2000s, there were about 120,000 students in Delhi University. So you're looking at close to 150 to 200,000 students in Delhi University. So we have love for big cities. And we grew up in big cities. So we have love for God so loved the big city. That's what we used to say. Because God's heart's for the people. God loves people and people are in the city. So God loves the city. And I was doing my master there and my wife was doing undergrad at Miranda House. If you're from India, you will know. And then she went to Delhi School of Economics and went to JNU to do her PhD. And God called us to come and serve here during that time. So we came to Northern Theological Baptist Seminary. So I was just talking about the city. So when God put California in our heart, we weren't sure. I mean, California, we haven't thought about that. And then we decided to ask our children, suppose if we move, where do you think we should move? And our son said, California, you know? So we plan a trip. And we came to California almost 2 years ago now. And we came to California and we drove and we stayed in San Francisco for 2 nights. We drove around Berkeley, Fremont area. We came to Stanford. We took 101, came down here, and we went to L.A. and stayed there for a week. We also went to Bakersfield. Lovely place, I'm telling you. Yes. Wonderful place, and then we came home and said, so what do you think about it? You know, and we weren't very sure, but we came just to pray. Fast forward a year later, because we have prayed for about 2 years, more than a year later, this March, this posting is there that Santa Clara First Baptist Church is looking for a pastor. And I said, okay. I Googled it, the church came out, the map came out, and said, wow, this is the area that we have prayed. And I had a rush of excitement, but I kept it quiet. I didn't tell my wife. Because when I look at the study, the website, I think you guys have been looking for a pastor for quite some time. Say maybe they have found a pastor already. And that weekend, we are visiting a Midwest city. There is this church, close to $2 billion dollar budget every year. They wanted me to be a pastor there. So we said, okay, let's go and check it out. And we drove by there, we went to the city, and I turned to my wife and said, there is no mountain here. Where is your mountain? I didn't see any mountain. And I wrote an email to Andrew, in fact to Trudy and pastor, to say I'm going to apply, send my resume if the position is still open. And Andrew did not write anything back to me during that time. So I say, well, you know, the position is filled. So when we were there in the hotel in the Midwest city trying to look around that place, that evening there was a mail from Andrew. Say, you can send in your resume. And I didn't tell my wife yet, okay, you know. And I wrote to Andrew, we are having a vacation as a family, so when I get back home, I'll get back to you. And we did. And we sent the resume. And my wife said, have you heard anything from Andrew? And I said, no, I haven't heard anything. Maybe we're not a good fit, you know. And that week, that church wanted to interview me already now. So I'm thinking, you know, because when we came back, we said, we don't feel it. We don't feel it in our heart. Our heart is still California, you know, California. We don't know, but. So we didn't feel it, and we were thinking what to do. And the night that they wrote that they want to interview us, that night Andrew wrote that, can we schedule a telephone appointment? Yeah. And that day also, my wife was saying, you haven't heard anything from Andrew. Maybe this is not going to work out. But I say, no, wait on, honey. I had a dream last night. And I dreamt Susie, pastor's wife. And she has this red hair, you know, very pleasant face, bright and smiling. And she was telling Pastor Rich, just take a look at his resume. It's okay. Just take a look, you know. It's okay. It wouldn't be the end of the world. Just take a look, you know. So I told my wife, if the search committee and we are praying, I think something will happen. It was in the afternoon. And then the email we got around 6 p.m., our time. I said, okay, something is happening here. So let's start in praying and fasting. So we start fasting and praying. We were going to fast for 30 days. So we start fasting and praying. It was during that time that God gave to me, too, as we were preparing this, from Revelation chapter 3, the letter to Philippians. God gave that to me. Read Philippians and do the church, the letter to Philadelphia. So I read it and say, how is this relevant to Santa Clara First Baptist Church? And how is this relevant to me? And there were three things that came out of there in the letter that I didn't understand before. The first one is that Philadelphia was not a huge church. There were bigger church in that area. It didn't have the weight and the clout of other bigger church in that city. So I said, okay. And when I came here, all right, there are other bigger churches here. Okay, that's what I found out. So, okay, one. The second thing is, the Philadelphia church was persecuted by the Jewish people there. Even though they came from the same faith, you know, there was persecution. I said, how is this related to Santa Clara First Baptist Church? Then when I came here, then I realized, and I read the Constitution, your bylaws, and you are also persecuted in some ways because you don't compromise to some of the popular opinions that are out there. Okay? So other churches look at you and say, why are you guys so close-minded? I say, okay. So I understood. And the third one was that Santa Clara was faithful in the Word of God. And when I met Pastor Rich, then I knew that this church has been in the Word of God because he is a man of God. He is a man of God that has prepared this church to stand in the Word of God. Right? Yeah? Yeah. Then God has set an open door for this church. That's the theme. I have set for you an open door. When we came to this city and the people that are here, different cultures, different faith, and you are right in a very strategic location, then I feel that this church have an opportunity for great influence to expand and extend the kingdom of God in this city. That's the scripture that God was telling me. No? So we started praying more. I shared these things to my wife. Now, what is the connection with this scripture and this church? How is God leading us? What does it mean that God has prepared beforehand to do good works in Christ Jesus? So let's look at the beforehand, okay? Long time ago. What's my connection? So, when I was in Midwest one day, there was a telephone call from a church. And he said, hey, my name is Scripture. His real name is Scripture, okay? So it's not the Bible, okay? My name is Scripture. I want to meet you for lunch. I said, okay. So we met at a local diner. And he told me that the Holy Spirit prompted me to pick up the call you many times. And I didn't call anyway, but it got stronger that I have to pick up the phone and call you. So we met around in April. And when we met, now when we rewind, I have told my wife in the beginning of the year that God is going to unite these two churches. And I want you to remember, it was a Sunday morning, we were having lunch. I want you to remember this conversation. God's going to unite these two churches and make it one. Because there were two Baptist churches in a block. Now this pastor scripture is calling me, and he said, his word was, let us unite these two churches. I said, okay. So we called for a meeting in May. 45 leaders came, and the church was united at the end of the year. During this journey, when we were praying, I used to visit with him. We used to go to the hospital. He told me about, he was a pastor in Napa Valley. He told me about a church that he used to pastor. He was an interim in one church, And he was an interim there because one of the pastors, when he was preaching, he had a heart attack and he died. So I said, oh, wow, what a glorious way to go, you know. You see? Now, I didn't know that Pastor Scripture, who was my mentor in Midwest, was the interim minister here before Pastor Rich came. That two pastors in Midwest working together that has connection at Santa Clara First Baptist Church. What are the odds? God has prepared beforehand to do his work. That is relevant to me. That word is relevant to me. And when I wrote email to Pastor Rich, I said, Pastor Rich, you remind me of somebody that is my mentor. And I mean to say Pastor Scripture, okay? Because when I met Pastor Scripture, he also had this glorious beard. You know? And for some reason, when I opened your church website and I saw Pastor Rich, you know, I just immediately fell in love with him. Well, that came out wrong. That came out wrong. But you know what I mean, right? Yeah? Okay. Sorry, honey. My heart is still with you, okay? So God has prepared beforehand. I said, okay. So that was like, wow, this is something. Then when I came here and I met Pastor and Susie, because we are going to neutral pulpit, and they sent us to Albany Church on the corner. Later on, I found out that Pastor Scripture, around the time that he also did the neutral pulpit in Albany in Church on the Corner. I say, wow, what a story here. Similar things happening here. And I went to Church on the Corner. You know how tall I am, right? Yeah? I'm even taller than the pastor in the Church on the Corner. I say, this is good. I'm not the only one. But God has prepared beforehand to do good work. What are the odds that in Midwest there are two pastors that's connected to a pastor here in this valley, going to the same place that he has neutral pulpit, that we can do good works in the Lord? When I came here, see, I'm just telling a story now how we got here, so that the Spirit of the Lord will work in you the same thing that it worked in us. When we came here, it was, I had a long meeting on Saturday. Friday, I think. And part of Saturday. So Friday I was so excited. We had good meeting with the board. We started with the board. Great meeting. And then the staff. Great meeting. Now I didn't know because of the time zone that I was getting tired. So when we met the search committee, I mean, they gave me a hard time. Right? The search committee. They're not good people, I'm telling you. So we had this meeting, and to tell you the truth, at the end of the meeting, I thought that there was more question than answered after the search committee meeting. So my wife and we talked about it and said, well, I think there's more question now since we met them. And I don't, in my spirit, I also didn't feel that the search committee was very confident about me coming here after the meeting. Okay, the interview went well, phone, but this meeting was, there was a lot of question mark. So I prayed, and I was so tired that the moment I went to the hotel, I put my head on the pillow, I was gone. I was just sleeping. And Saturday I started praying and preparing for the sermon, the neutral pulpit sermon. I'm thinking, will it even matter to give that sermon, you know, just thinking like that. That night when I went to sleep, in my dream, see, he's coming back to dreams, there were seven white candles, and somebody is lighting the candle. And the voice told me to read Zechariah chapter 6, verses 4 to 6. See, read that. So I got up, I turned on my iPad, and the day of the verse, in the Bible, Zechariah 6, 4 to 6, and it was in American Standard Version, right? Now, in the scripture, this is what I want to read for you. And the angel talked to me once again, wake me, and a man, this is waking out of his sleep. He said unto me, what do you see? I said, I've seen, behold, candlestick of all golds, with its bowl upon the top of it, and its seven lamps thereon. Right? And seven pipes to each of the lamp, which are upon the top thereof, and two olive trees. And then it come down, let me come to the end. It says, moreover, the word of Jehovah came unto me, saying, the hand of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house. His hands shall also finish it. And you shall know that Jehovah the host has sent me unto you. For who had despised the day of small things? For the seven shall rejoice and shall see the plummet of the hand of Zerubbabel. And these are the eyes of Jehovah, which runs to and fro through the whole earth. And it also says here, not by might, not by power, but by the Spirit. Verse 6, he answered and spoke to me, saying, this is the word of Jehovah unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might, not by power, but by the Spirit. I say, honey, I had a dream, seven candles, and this scripture for me to read. God's confirming me. And how am I going to relate? One thing is saying, God does not despise small beginning. He will take small things and do great work for his name. Whatever he will. It also relates back to me that there were seven in the search committee. Okay, seven members in the search committee. On that day, Gary was not there. Because Gary was being naughty with his wife in some vacation, I don't know, Karen, and they're having great time, right? We didn't miss them anyway. So, he confirmed to me within my spirit that the seven will rejoice because of what the Lord will do. It's just like I drank cold water, refreshing water. I was ready to go. In the morning, I met them at the church on the corner. I was excited and said, I'm ready to go. I had a tough Saturday and Friday. I'm ready to go. And the Lord has confirmed these things. And I knew that God will bring us together. Because I know that the search committee they are my greatest supporter. All of them. I know that they worked very hard for me. They prayed for me. They prayed for my family. And they got my back. I know that this search committee, they got my back. And because of all the work that they have done, I know that I'm here. And the board, fantastic people. And you can't have a pastor, better pastor, Pastor Rich and Susie, to have me and my wife. How he beds for me. How he holds us up. I can stand here and tell you today that if it were not for God, I will not be here. There is no way that you will try to work things out in the world, put all numbers together, pull things together and say, yeah, we know that he will be here. No. It cannot happen for me if it was not for God that I will be standing here this morning. So what I want to say is, am I the pastor that will take this church to heaven, show you heaven and bring you back to earth and give a pre-pass to heaven? No. I'm not the guy, right? Yes. Am I going to make this church and turn into something glorious, the dream of the dream of the church in Santa Clara? You're looking for that pastor? I'm not that guy. I'm telling you that I don't have a silver bullet. I don't have a magic potion. I don't have a magic mantra or power to transform this church into something, I don't know, whatever you have. You're looking at the wrong guy if you are looking for that kind of pastor. But what I can tell you is, I will try my best to love my wife when I'm here. I'll try and work hard every day because I fall short. I will try and strive my best to love my wife. I will try my best to be the best father to my children. I will try to serve the church and God by His strength and by His grace in all humility. And you will see me fall. You will see me many times fall short. But you feel that, hey, we can live with Him. You know? We are in it together. Then I'm game for it. You know? So, let God lead your heart. And I don't have any superpower. You know? I don't have any magic to give it to you. But I love the Lord, I love my wife, and I love my kids, and I love the Church of Christ. And there is no greater honor for me in my life that God has called me to serve Him. It's the greatest honor for me. I don't know why He even thought about me. But it's a privilege to serve the Lord. And what a great honor to serve God. And I'm happy to serve the Lord with all of you. I am not your traditional pastor kind of thing, you see? I mean, yeah. I know I'm handsome and cool, you know? I work out. I'm sexy, and I know it. But if you feel the same way, I'm ready to take you down to the Art and Wine Festival. You load it up and come and vote. Have a happy vote. How about that? Yes? Shall we pray? Father, let your name be glorified in this church and the people that are gathered here this morning. Let your will be done and nothing but your will. Let every door that you have closed be closed. And may the members see the doors that are open. And if it is your will, O Lord God, if it is your will, let your will be done. We pray this in Jesus' name. And the people of God say,
Amen.
Amen. This is the scripture gave to me. And his last name is Scripture, George Scripture. And this church belongs to Christ, and the Word of God will be the foundation. And I can tell you that we will never compromise on the Word of God.